You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, September 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Back to work, back to school. Spectacular fall day here in downtown Madison on State Street at the world headquarters of Civic Media. Aaron Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well. Had a nice weekend. Got a lot done at home. Got to jam out a little, play some music with some friends. Nice. How about you?
Saturday was a little, as my grandma used to say, done in. And so stayed at home, kind of did some things around the house, kind of recouped from a very, very busy week news-wise last week, and watched the Badgers, our Wisconsin Badger football team down in Alabama, as Keith Jackson used to say. And going in, remember Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter, I said the line was 20 out in the desert, that, you know, Alabama was expected to win by 20. That was the betting line. And Clemens said, no, it's up to 22. And I said, I'm not, but if I were a betting man, I'd probably put $100 on the over on that. I should have done that because Wisconsin lost by a score of 38-14 to the Crimson Tide. Did not look good at all. And really the offense only scored one touchdown because the other touchdown was from special teams. So we'll get into more of that later, but yeah, not a great look for Wisconsin, Alabama, and really an already a must-win situation when the Maryland Terrapins come to Camp Randall on Saturday. So we'll talk more about that a little later. On the upside, what a weekend for the Crew. Milwaukee Brewers have clinched the postseason and got an absolutely spectacular come-from-behind win on Saturday night against the dreaded St. Louis Cardinals. Crew won 9-8 in 10 innings. Was down there yesterday with Brady Ewing and the boys, his family, at County Stadium, at AmFam Field yesterday. And you thought maybe they'd have the same thing come back in the ninth, but just couldn't get it done. Great pitching by the Cardinals. And Milwaukee lost in 9 innings, 3-2 yesterday. They get back underway here tomorrow. At home, they got the day off today. They're back underway tomorrow against the Los Angeles Angels. 6:05, the pregame show on many of our stations tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night, with the first pitch just after 6:30. You can hear it on RCE in Richland Center, ISS in Oshkosh, and our new station WBZH in Hayward. But the Crew got that first big milestone, which is securing a postseason berth. And so while I was in Milwaukee yesterday at AmFam Field, I went down to the gift shop. I wanted a large. This is a little tight, but it works. It was either a medium or a double XL. I'm like, well. So I've got the October Baseball 2025 t-shirt. Because anytime you're playing in October, that means you made the playoffs. So I'm all set to go. Great. We'll talk more about that a little bit later as well. Great time with Brady and his family. Just great people. Appreciate him coming on every other week. So try to take him to one game a year just to say thank you. That was a lot of fun. So those were the sports headlines. And we're going to play you here in just a while. We're going to play you a really, I still get goosebumps hearing it and talking about it. Bob Uecker, the great announcer, wrote a letter to the Brewers and gave it to owner Mark Attanasio before he passed away in January in case the Crew got back to the playoffs. And on Saturday night, Pat Murphy, the manager, read that letter. And we've got the audio thanks to our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. We're going to play you the full thing here in just a little bit. Also coming up on this show at the bottom of this hour, my former boss, former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, Republican from Richland Center, is going to be in via phone discussing political violence and also civil discourse. He's going to be out in public talking with former Democratic Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and one of the great jurists in Wisconsin, Dave Doninger, are doing a public forum on civility and our constitutional crisis in Greene County this week. I'm going to talk to him about that. Dale received death threats of his own in his political career. How did he deal with them? And what does he think of the current situation? And then in hour number two, do not miss it. Coming up at 3:06, in hour two, State Senator Kelda Royce, a frequent guest on this program, announced this morning via video that she is running for the Democratic nomination for Wisconsin governor. We're going to talk live to State Senator Kelda Royce here coming up in hour two. Find out how her first full day as a gubernatorial candidate is going. And a what's worse, dentist or doctor in hour two as well. Want to start out with a clip from former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. He was on Meet the Press on NBC yesterday. And I think as more news and disinformation came out over the weekend over the assassination of Charlie Kirk, this is a good place to start for this discussion today. Here is former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg.
There is a sickness, not just the sickness of somebody who would pick up a gun and shoot someone, but I think a broader societal sickness that, frankly, I think you could see and feel in how many people around America, normal people, not dangerous people, were at a moment when we all should have still been praying for the victim and his family, were busy online praying for some shred of evidence that the shooter would turn out to be from the other political team. That is not healthy, and that is not a way forward, but that is exactly what the algorithm pushes us to do. And this does seem to be especially acute for young men. Young men right now, statistically, are the group most likely to spend most of their time alone. That is a prescription for a deeper societal level of pain and unraveling that we have got to turn around. We can't go on like this. And I think it's especially important to remember that some of the very same people who are in these conversations online will be perfectly normal offline. That's why we do need to just put down the phone, put down the computer, step out and talk to each other in environments where our humanity comes through.
Former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. It encapsulates, perhaps better than I could, my own feelings. Zomers and I talked about this before today's show, talked about it with a great director of operations, our immediate supervisor, Luke Mathers. We were sitting there, and our owner and CEO, as he occasionally does, kind of came by to say hi, and we got into a conversation about this with Sage. Here's my feeling, folks. The amount of time, and I'm not complaining, very grateful to have this job, the amount of time it takes now for me to make sure that the information we're passing on about this major event or any other is getting greater and greater. Why? Because it used to be that you could say, well, okay, the FBI said this. Well, they're going to be truthful. The FBI is now controlled by Kash Patel, which is essentially doing the Trump bidding. You add into that the huge amounts, and we talked about this last week, Russian bots and Chinese bots, in other words, made up people online by computers who are putting out disinformation, inaccurate information to drive us against ourselves, you guys. To drive us against ourselves. Reviewing the fluidity of last week's events with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I feel pretty good about the information we passed on to you. Remember, we said it was fluid. This is what we know at the time. The alleged shooter, we told you he was white. That's true. Christian Mormon home. That's true. His parents, longtime Republicans, Trump supporters. That's true. Pro-gun family, NRA members. That's true. I think the only thing, and I'll correct myself, the only piece of information I passed on from this program last week that we don't know now is true or not, it doesn't appear to be, was that I said that his dad was a former sheriff or 27-year law enforcement official. That part I got wrong. So I want to clean that up. But I can't come on this show every day and try to give you all the accurate information on things like this. It's just too overwhelming. We're not equipped for it, quite frankly. And neither does, I think, it do any good to come on here and gin things up from a talk format and pit each other against you and have these screaming conversations or demeaning conversations or angry conversations. What I want to do, I think, I hope we're equipped to, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the show, our friend Kira Sabin, positivity, life psychologist, life coach, had a great post this weekend. I'm going to summarize it. We'll talk more about it a little bit. And she said, as we talked last week, our brains physiologically are not capable of digesting daily drama and trauma. Not capable. And while we can never stop bad things from happening in the world, also simultaneously, there are all kinds of good things. And just because we talk about the good in the world doesn't mean that we're putting on Pollyanna or rose-colored glasses and ignoring the bad. We'll still talk about politics and current events. But to do deep dives and to suss this out and to have arguments about it, what I hope is more productive is A, sharing the good in this state, because there's a lot of it. We travel around. We brought you those stories. We're going to continue to do that. And B, bringing folks on, and I know he happens to be my former boss, but I have him on anyway. Dale Schultz, a guy who actually got death threats as a state senator in this state. I was there. We're going to talk about how he handled that, how he continues to handle that this week. Not hiding away in a hole, but going out in public, along with Dave Mahoney, a Democrat, former sheriff, along with Dave Dininger, a judge, having good conversations in our communities and realizing what Trygve Olsen keeps reminding us as someone who's fought authoritarianism and dictators in Eastern Europe and around the world to the point where Vladimir Putin himself has banned Trygve from ever coming to Russia. So the guy knows something about how to handle authoritarianism. He reminds us, Trygve does, our enemies are not our neighbors, guys. Not our neighbors. Our neighbors are our neighbors. And how do we listen to each other and understand each other and create community? Because that's the best thing I can help do. I can't come on the air and solve all of political violence. I can't come on the air and I don't have the team or the ability or the time to do the hard, hard research of putting and trying to give you the counterpoint on every piece of social media stuff out there. But what I can do is come on and help tell the truth about Wisconsin, what we do know, try to put it in context of family and neighbors and fellow Wisconsinites. And I don't think that's being Pollyanna-ish or saying, oh, you don't want to talk about the hard stuff. I think it's more difficult today than maybe ever before to look across the backyard fence and say, even though they put a Biden-Harris or a Trump-Vance yard sign in their yard, I can still respect them as a neighbor and a fellow human being. And that's where it starts, in my opinion. That's where we can actually make progress in Wisconsin, in each of our communities, realizing that our neighbors and our community members, there's so much more that unites us than divides us. And if we just heard Pete Buttigieg say, and we heard that Buttigieg, obviously Democrat, and we'll come back after this on the Civic Media Right Media Network and talk more about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour, 2 o'clock on Monday, September 15th, 2025. The gremlins have been worked out. If the last segment sounded like it ended abruptly, it's because it did. Normally, and this is how good Zomers is, you know, some people, they watch the clock. And, you know, that's when when you're going to break, and you got to wrap it up. I have relied so much on Zomers because he's so good. He starts the music 30 seconds. And as soon as I hear the music, I'm like, all right, I got 30 seconds. And he was, and pretty soon I see him waving his arms because the computer froze up. It wasn't Zomers, and we couldn't play the music going out because of the computer Zomers.
Well, it's all good now.
All right. But I want to let people know it wasn't you. It was just sometimes things don't work right. That's just the way it goes. And you move on. So welcome back to the show. Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, talking on political violence. And good conversation. How to have disagreeable conversations without being disagreeable on community. Looking forward to that. And State Senator Keller Royce, in hour two, just after the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, she announced her run for governor today. Going to be talking about that. Finishing up this conversation on the headlines of the week, we played the cut from former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg from Meet the Press yesterday, saying that, look, we got to get offline. We can't be consumed with this disinformation from both sides. And this is being propagated by places like Russia and China to pit us against ourselves. And living online ain't healthy. Doesn't matter who you're supporting. All right, Zomers?
Yeah, one thing on that, actually, we could maybe ask Dale about when he's on. He told us about a book called Bowling Alone that was written around the year 2000 about, you know, a trend that the author saw then of people spending a lot more time alone and not talking to everyone else. And right. The internet's made that so much worse. No, and it's still relevant today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really is. And the more we talk to each other, the better off we are. Quickly, let's go to the phone lines. Troy in Mount Horeb, listening to WMDX. Troy, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
See, oh, quickly, I guess. I don't know how to talk to these people because they didn't vote for a normal Republican. They didn't vote for Bob Dole. They didn't even vote for George Bush. They voted for a racist rapist. And, you know, if I don't understand that, and I'm proud that I don't understand that, because I don't want to have understood how you could vote for that guy. And if that shuts people out of my life, that's fine, because I'm fine letting them go.
Right.
Because that's who they are.
I appreciate the comments, as always, Troy, and I get where you're coming from. And certainly, if people are unhealthy in our lives, it's better not to have them in it, right? If there's just no way to get around that. But I do think it's important to bring a curiosity and say why, and think to ourselves, and we're not here to fix everybody, at least I'm not, but like to think to myself, okay, why does that person feel that way? Do they have hurt or do they have unfortunate circumstances in their own life that cause them to want to support something that I don't agree with? Doesn't mean we're always going to see eye to eye, but can we say, hey, we might disagree on this, but we can still talk about the Packers, or we can still raise money for our local EMS together and help out our communities. I'm not saying that we have to condone things that we don't agree with, but I'm just saying, myself at least, I think I could use a better job of trying to understand people. But I appreciate the call, Troy. Thank you so much. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, we're up against the clock. If you can make it brief, please, my friend, go ahead.
Yeah, I hear again the condemnation of the word empathy, and it was claimed, oh, that's a brand new word. Well, it may be actually coined, you know, that when I looked up, it's coined from a German word back in 1908. But the concept of empathy is quite old. I mean, I guess David Hume and Adam Smith actually spoke of it as a fellow feeling among your fellow human beings. But of course, the Bible is filled with empathic emotions in there, and the actual word, the definition of it, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And Charlie Kirk actually used empathy to gain support among the people that like him. He said, you are feeling put upon, you're not getting the jobs you want, you don't have the wealth you want, you're not getting the opportunities you want, I understand that. And it's interesting that a man who condemns the word empathy used his understanding of other people to, you know, gain support and channel their energies and their anger toward people they shouldn't be angry with. The people they should be angry with is the guys at the very top that have manipulated this situation where all the wealth is in their hands, and we are supposed to fight over the scraps.
Yeah, appreciate the comments, Mark. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We're going to continue talking about this perhaps a little bit more in an hour or two. We're actually going to continue the discussion with Dale Schultz. And he's a lifelong Republican, 30-plus years in the legislature, in the Assembly, in the State Senate, ran for U.S. Congress in the 3rd District. And when I was working for him at various times, but particularly his last term from 2010 to 2014, he had a number of issues. Act 10, right? Scott Walker's Act 10, which divided the state in terms of basically getting rid of the ability for public unions to negotiate, public workers to negotiate, including teachers in the state. And Dale was one of the last people on the Republican side to announce where he was going to go with his vote, because he went out and listened to his constituents. And that resulted, as someone who was there, in a lot of hatred towards him from both sides, but particularly his own party, the Republican Party. And at the time, we still had fax machines, ran out of fax paper. Basically, phone lines got so clogged up that we couldn't answer phones because I had so many phone calls coming in. We're going to talk to Dale about what is it like to have a death threat that involves you and your family, how he dealt with that, and his advice on dealing with our friends and neighbors in today's political climate. Don't go anywhere. A conversation with former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz after this, and State Senator Kelda Royce on our gubernatorial announcement at the top of the hour. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. 35 minutes now past the hour, 2 o'clock on Monday, September 15th, 2025. Appreciate Zomers on the board. That song usually means we got one guest on the other side. He is former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, who joins us via phone. And in the auspices of full disclosure, he also is one of my former bosses as well. Dale, I appreciate you taking time on short notice to join us today. How are you?
Well, I'm terrific. Like a lot of people, I'm busy taking care of my fall chores, a little touch-up painting here and there and the like to get ready for winter.
I know you're always a busy guy out there, whether it's in town or on your farm there that you and your wife run, so I appreciate you taking the time. And I wanted to bring you on. I appreciate you doing this because, knowing you so well, I know you're not always comfortable talking about this stuff because you don't like to draw attention to your own stories. But you're uniquely qualified to talk about the moment, so I appreciate this. And that is, when you were the last term from 2010 to 2014, after you were Senate Majority Leader, and Act 10 came up in the Capitol, Scott Walker's bill to attack collective bargaining for public workers in this state, you were one of the last Republicans to tell people how you were going to vote because you went across your district and listened first. And that resulted in a number of threats into your office while I was working for you. Back then, we still had fax machines. We ran out of fax paper. The phones got so tied up, we couldn't even take calls. Hundreds, if not thousands, of emails. And you received death threats. And I want people to understand that the worst of it came from people from who allegedly were from your own party, Republicans and conservatives. And the worst it got, and I checked, double-checked to make sure I was telling the truth with our former colleague TJ, and he remembered it the same way. As far as I could tell, Dale, you had the office shut down, closed for one day. And that is when someone put a bomb threat, a death threat, through the mail slot in your office door at the state capitol. And you told us all to leave for the day, had the Capitol Police involved. TJ actually insisted on coming back later that night. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'll clean it up for radio." He said, "Look, I got stuff I got to get done. Screw it. I'm going in." And just talk to us, Dale, what that's like being an elected official and having death threats and threats against you and your family.
Well, I don't know that being an elected official makes it any more or less pleasant. The fact is that we all care about our kids and our spouses, and we cringe about the reality that someday somebody who's deranged might do something horrible. It gives everybody who's involved a sense of a real concern. But let me just talk to this in a broader sense and make it more relevant to what's happening now and a little less about me. You know, what we have let happen in this country is we've decided to turn politics over to the moneyed political class that's really run by a bunch of consultants who make a ton of money telling politicians how they can stay in office forever and enjoy all the perks associated with what goes on. And their basic message is ginning up hate. And they know and they can present facts to you that that really motivates people far more than if you would gin up a bunch of love. And that by itself is kind of depressing to me. But that's the reality. But the choice of what you do cannot be blamed over on consultants, even if they're the principal actor in this little play of ours. It's really up to you. And yeah, I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat right now. The first thing I tell people when they talk to me, my former colleagues and new legislators, is, you know, maybe you ought to look in the mirror and you ought to consider once in a while the other guy might be right. You know, I remember being in the legislature when we were really concerned about out of control anger on the floor of the state Senate. And the majority leader and the minority leader would get together, go behind closed doors with the offending party and calm them down and point out that this was against our traditions. It's against our rules. We're not here to punish them. We want them to have an opportunity to express themselves. But this is really spoiling it for everyone. And it's going to lead to less talk, less compromise down the road, particularly among our constituents. They don't do that anymore. People either don't talk or they get really angry. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon the consultants are ginning it up with constituents at election time. And the politicians, instead of, you know, eschewing this, sort of reinforce it. And I think we all know that both sides do this. I tend to be a little more critical of my former colleagues because I thought we Republicans were better than this. I guess that's not so much true anymore. And I think if we're ever going to get out of this, it's going to be when the public decides they've had enough and throws all the bums out. And particularly the ones that can't ever find a way to sit down with anybody and work something out.
We're talking to former state senate, Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, Republican from his home in Richland Center via phone, talking about the political violence, discourse, how to have better conversations. Dale, we played a cut from former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg at the top of the show. He was on Meet the Press this weekend saying, hey, part of this is just putting down our electric devices, getting off the internet because there's so much disinformation, and reconnecting with our neighbors. Now, I'll clean this up a little bit for radio, but when I was your chief of staff and during Act 10 and some of this stuff, we, you know, television was still a bigger thing, and so we'd watch. I would have a small TV monitoring state programs and national programs. I can't remember what the issue was specifically, but you came in off the floor one day and you said, what are you watching? And I told you about whatever program it was. I said, and we've been getting a lot of emails and this is just terrible. And you cut me off and you said, turn that crap off. What is this doing to solve the problem? We're here to ameliorate the situation. And to cut the tension, I looked at you and said, not only that, we should make it better. So, I mean, but you were, you, and that was a great lesson for me because you were less concerned about what was hot on TV or the internet and more about solving problems and connecting, like Buttigieg said today, with our communities. And I really admire you and I thank you for teaching me that lesson.
Well, that's very kind of you, Todd. And I think Pete Buttigieg is entirely right. What I've been preaching for a couple of years now is engagement. And by that, I mean exactly what Pete Buttigieg said. Get out of your own little world. Set down your little echo chamber with, you know, your smart device and go talk to your neighbors. And you don't even have to talk about politics. Just get to know them and find out what's motivating them, what's concerning them. There's a lot of pain out there, and it is confined to one political party or the other. And we've got to reconnect with our neighbors. But I'd also like to tell you another little story, and I think I've said this on the air before. But, you know, during Act 10, I was the last person to indicate how they were going to vote. And the rationale behind that was, as you said, it didn't make a lot of sense to me to decide how I was going to vote and then go out and listen to my constituents. They'd have spotted me for a phony like they did everybody else in about 3 seconds. I went out and took the heat. Everybody was mad at me. Everybody was demanding I vote their way. And there were times when I had picketers in front of my house. Particularly, I remember one snowy morning when it was really cold. I had a whole bunch of picketers out here. I think the majority of them might have been teachers, but they were a lot of different people as well. And instead of yelling at them or calling the cops, I just went out my back door and walked around the house quietly and non-threateningly. And I said, I'm really concerned about you, and I hear you, and I'm here to listen to you. And I said, I just have one thing I'd like to do in advance. And I stopped, turned, and went on the front porch and got a bucket of sand and brought it down and sanded the sidewalk. And I said, look, I don't want anybody to get hurt out here. That would just be silly. And furthermore, before we get started here, I just want to add one parenthetical note, and that is, if you feel like you need more sand on these sidewalks, you are free to go up on my porch and get the sand and take care of the sidewalks. Now, let's talk about things and tell me what's on your mind. And, you know, the conversation didn't last a long time. It was only about maybe 5 minutes. I had to get to Madison. But I think that kind of a gesture by a politician that's a little disarming, a little bit open, goes a long, long way with people in pain. And yeah, it would be nice if we saw a few more of our elected officials doing that rather than preaching how fearful they are of their constituents. We don't need that.
I'm so glad you told that story. That's why I wanted you to share it again with people, because I think it epitomizes how you dealt with people who didn't always agree. Instead of calling the cops or saying, oh my, or getting your firearm out, you took sand out to make sure that the people protesting against you were okay. And also, for the record, so people know, Dale is the only Republican that voted against Act 10 and against Scott Walker, against his own party in that issue. But Dale, we're talking about former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. What do you make of people in Wisconsin? Robin Voss has talked about this. And now we're hearing legislators in D.C. Everybody's scared. Oh, my gosh, I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, and what? Why are people today, not everybody, but there are so many electeds who are now scared versus what you did when you had people protesting outside your personal home?
Well, you know, what I didn't tell you in advance of that is I probably, and you know this to be a fact, probably traveled further and farther in my district listening to my constituents on a regular basis than almost any of my colleagues. I would say to the current leadership in the state legislature and in Congress, why don't you get off these phony baloney phone call town hall meetings where you know that you're being screened when you call in, and it's basically a giant commercial. And go out and meet your constituents. And meet them before there's a problem. You know, it's hard for people or social media to tell lies about you if they already know you. So just go out there and sit down with them. You don't have to solve all the problems or own anybody. Just go out and lend a sympathetic ear and listen. And yeah, if you ask a question, answer it briefly and transparently.
And isn't it telling, Dale, to your point you just made, people like Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, are going out meeting with people. People like Mark Pocan, congressman here from the 2nd District, doing that. Derek Van Orten in the 3rd District refuses to meet with his own constituents, by and large. And I think you nailed it, Dale. If you know your constituents, you're not going to be fearful. I think that's so important. Do you have 5 more minutes or you got to run?
No, I'll stay 5 minutes.
All right, just going to run up against the clock here. But I want to come back and we're going to talk specifically with Dale about this forum he's having this week with former Democratic Sheriff Dave Mahoney and Judge Dave Donahue. We're talking about that on the other side. It's the Tom Allball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. Weather update, sports, the great Mike Clemens, and then surprise, surprise, this is fantastic. We thought we were going to talk to State Senator Kelda Royce, who announced her gubernatorial run this morning. It appears she's going to be in studio with us, sitting right here beside us. So that'll be fantastic. Looking forward to that. Right now, wrapping up our discussion, our conversation with former Republican Senate Majority Leader, State Senator Dale Schultz of Southwest Wisconsin, joining us via phone from his home in Richland Center. Dale, appreciate the time. Was having that great conversation about political discourse, political violence. You made the great point that one of the reasons you weren't afraid when people protested your home, one of the reasons you didn't call the cops or get a firearm out, that you went out and put sand out there in the winter for people protesting you for their own safety, was because you knew your constituents. And I think you're absolutely right. Our elected officials would be a lot better served if they did the same thing. To that end, you have not stopped doing that. Meeting with Wisconsinites, our mutual friend, your former colleague, State Senator Tim Cullen, late great Tim Cullen, Democrat. You and he went out, talked about gerrymandering a lot. Also, former State Senator Majority Leader Bob Jauch. You guys have talked about the environment and politics, and now you're doing it with former Dane County Sheriff Democrat Dave Mahoney and former appellate court judge David Doninger. You guys are going to be down to the beautiful community of Belleville at Belleville High School Auditorium this Wednesday from 6 until 7:30 on Constitution Day. It's being sponsored by Hands Off New Glarus and the Belleville Liberty Bells. Love that. Talk to us, Dale, about what you and former Sheriff Mahoney and Judge David Doninger are doing down in Belleville this Wednesday.
Well, let me just say we've spent the first segment talking about a problem. And I always believe that that's fine. You should talk about problems, but you also should try to formulate a plan to make things better. And heaven knows we need a lot of plans to make things better. But one of the ideas that I like, that I heard, that I've decided to sign on with, with a great deal of passion, is the notion of fusion voting. And fusion voting is something that existed in this country up until the end of the 1800s or early part of the 19th or 20th century. And it ended because the political parties decided they wanted to control the voters and the political process to a greater extent. But prior to that time, we allowed people to vote for multiple candidates for the same office, and their votes could be fused. In other words, you could vote for Dave Mahoney for sheriff, and if I lived in Dane County, I could vote for Dave Mahoney for sheriff, and we could be in two different political parties, and our votes would be fused together. What this does is this puts the 40% of the populace that doesn't like either political party anymore in the driver's seat, that they will have agency in the political process, and that what they do basically is they go to a candidate they like and say, we'd like to put you on our ballot. And even though you're running as a Republican or as a Democrat, we'd like to put you on our ballot. And if we have fusion voting, you get to count our votes with the votes from any other political party that's supporting you. And in a state like Wisconsin, where you have very slim margins, this allows people in the middle to have real agency. Because mm-hmm. right now, we have a majority of a minority electing a lot of offices. And that leads to a lot of anger all by itself. Mm-hmm. And fusion voting is a way of ameliorating that problem. There are other ideas, but this is one that I think has a real opportunity to come to fruition. And to that end, we have sued the state of Wisconsin to allow us, like we did once upon a time in Wisconsin, to be able to do fusion voting. And I'd just like to say parenthetically, that's how the Republican Party was born, in Ripon, Wisconsin.
Right.
Whigs, free soilers, anti-abortion, Grange, political parties came together, joined forces, and elected Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have other states doing that right now. Kansas is trying to get back to fusion voting. Connecticut and New York do it. But if you want to empower those folks who are not so ideological, I'm not going to call them moderates, because mm-hmm. there are many people who take centrist views who are very passionate about one thing or another. And I just want to deal them in.
Right.
You know, the cure for a bad democracy is more democracy.
Republican Party today, very different than when it was created in Ripon, Wisconsin. I would argue different than when you were in office as well. Dale Schultz and Dave Mahoney, Republican and Democrat respectively, are the co-chairs of United Wisconsin. You can find more about fusion voting and the mission of United Wisconsin at unitedwisconsin.org. That's unitedwisconsin.org. You can catch them this Wednesday, September 17th, at the Belleville High School Auditorium from 6 until 7:30 in Belleville, talking about the Constitution, about fusion voting on Constitution Day. I can't think of a better way to celebrate our Constitution, Dale, than you and Dave Mahoney and Dave Dininger in a bipartisan, even nonpartisan fashion, talking about solutions and getting out and meeting people. That's where it's at, Dale.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. And let me just say, come on out, all of you who are listening right now. Tell your friends, neighbors, and even your relatives. This is good for everybody. And we promise we'll have a good time. And hopefully we can develop some more plans that we can work on together that will make this the special place that I
Thanks.
Know it to be.
Thanks, Dale. Really appreciate you. State Senator Kelvin Royce in her gubernatorial race next on the Civic Media Radio.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.